Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, again, if you'll follow along with me, I read this morning. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. But the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you and praise you for this time. And most of all, Lord, we want to just thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, for the reason we're here this morning, Lord. Lord, we are not here for our cause, Lord, but for yours. We're not here for our benefit, Lord, Father, except that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior. Lord, I want to thank you for all who are here this morning. I want to pray, Lord, for those who are able to join us this morning for whatever cause. But Lord, right now in particular, I want to pray that you would just steady our hearts and our minds and let us just put away and cast off the cares and the concerns of this world and allow your Spirit to come and teach us now, Lord, your perfect word. I pray you remove your servant and let your Spirit teach that we may grow thereby. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. John Kenneth Galbraith, in his autobiography, A Life in Our Times, illustrates the devotion of Emily Gloria Wilson, his family's longtime housekeeper. It had been a wearying day, he says, and I asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while I had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon B. Johnson was calling from the White House. Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. He's sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him. Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President, I work for him, not you. When I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. Tell that woman I want her here in the White House. This is a funny story when we just hear it right off the cuff, but the truth of the matter, what I find interesting about this story is Emily's devotion to her employer. It did not matter how perceived important the one asking her to be disobedient was, she remained faithful, honoring her, if you would, master, honoring his wishes. This is what we're going to look at together this morning. It is our relationships as servants to those who are the masters, if I can put it to you that way, in our life. Now we started with an illustration about the employer and employee relationship, and I think that these verses will definitely speak to us about that idea. But we're going to see three different parts, or three different, if I put it to you this way, groups or people that we could see who we're supposed to honor through these verses, if I can put it to you that way. So let's just begin this morning by looking at these verses again. It says in 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 through 2, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So, We are going to be looking at our relationship with our employers and distinguishing these three groups as we go through this, if I could. But the first two groups we're going to look at together this morning is if I can put it this way, the believing versus the unbelieving masters. And we're going to start with the unbelieving master. Now, I want to warn you all that we had a blessed vacation. Thank you all for your prayers while we were gone. But I literally have to say I spent 2 weeks thinking about verse 1 while I was gone. So you can imagine we're going to go a little bit slower through this verse. It was just such an overwhelming verse to me as I thought about it as we were gone. So beginning by looking at the first group here, from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, let as many servants who are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. First, the unbelieving master. We must remember the greatest testimony that we have in our lives as Christians, as believers. We must remember that our lives and the way we conduct ourselves is the greatest testimony that we ever have. It is the area that everyone will see, and it doesn't stop when we get outside these doors. Matter of fact, if I can put it to you this way, it's actually more important. I don't want to say, that's a horrible way of saying it. It is vitally important that when we step outside the doors of the church, that we behave ourselves in a manner that would be pleasing to our Savior, to God. More so, to a certain extent, than it is when we step in the doors. Because in the doors, we're going to show you grace. We're going to show you a lot more love and a lot more mercy. Because honestly, we recognize the struggle. But when we get out into the workplace, when we get out into the world, it is so important for us, it is vital for us, that we would recognize what we should behave ourselves like. This is why so much of the world had a hard time with Christ. I know you're going, what? It's because they judge our Savior, they judge Christ by the Christian. And that's a little unfair to do to our Savior, let's just be honest. I mean, I consider myself a pretty decent man and a pretty good believer, but I don't want anyone to say, I am Christ. Does that make sense? Because I'm going to fail. I'm going to disappoint. I'm going to let down. But unfortunately, as much as we don't want that to happen, brothers and sisters, it is. It is. The world, to a certain extent, is going to judge our Savior by his saved, if I can put it to you that way. And that's one of the things they're going to be looking at and judging him by. And as a matter of fact, you've all heard this say that you might be the only Bible that some ever read. So what kind of Bible are you going to be? Are you going to be the real Bible, the real Word of God? Or are you going to be the fake Bible? And what I mean by the fake Bible, and I'm not talking about the different translations out there, I'm talking about the fakeness in the sense of I only have to behave that way when I'm around other Christians or my parents so that they don't get mad at me. Or my friends, or I'm at church, or whatever the case may be. Or are you going to actually be, if I can put it to you this way, be Christian wherever you are, and whatever circumstance you find yourself? And why is it so important? Because notice what it says here in verse 1. It says this, that if we don't behave ourselves this way, what are they going to do? At the end of that chapter, it says what? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. In other words, what I would say to you is this, is what they're saying is they're going to vilify our Savior because of his saved. And that is really sad. I hope that the Lord had never been vilified in the hearts of some because of my behavior, because of the way I conducted myself, in particular as an employee. As an employee. Blaspheme, meaning vilified and evil spoken of. Turn to me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to look at our first verse this morning, a similar verse to this one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Says, in verse 18, it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. And this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto, where ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should not follow, you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Notice what he's saying here. Subject to your own masters. And I love that he says in verse 18, even those who are forward. And if I can put it to you this way, even those who are mean, even those who are jerks, even those who are a pain to work with, even those who are difficult, you still have to be their servant. You still have to represent Christ. And just to kind of kick that up a notch, he even goes on and puts Christ right there in the passage that we just read for us. He says, Christ did when he was reviled, didn't revile back. Christ, when he suffered, didn't come up with a scheme as to how he was going to make them suffer too. Now, I don't want to show a hand, but I'm willing to bet that each one of us at one point or another in our lives with our with employers or people outside of our home or whatever the case may be, have come up with a plan as to how we were going to destroy somebody in our life. If they only knew what I could. We reviled them, we talked bad about them against their back or whatever the case may be. And we just kind of come up with this own plan of trying to defend ourselves. Now, I love that he points out in that passage that we just read, though, hey, if you're buffeted for no reason whatsoever, if you're suffering because, honestly, you're just suffering because of who you are and your character and whatever the case may be, praise be to God. But if you're suffering because you're a bad employee, you don't get to blame that on your Christianity. And I've seen Christians do this many times. I have a dear friend who used to work for a Boise Cascade years ago. And I remember he said, I got fired because of my faith, because I was a Christian. They got rid of me. Come to find out, we had another friend who was working there. And that friend said, well, let's see, he was late all the time. He took extended lunches, called in sick quite often. He was a bad employee. Yeah, you know what? He would share the gospel with those who he could talk to at work when he was there and get a chance to share about Jesus Christ. So he says that he got fired because he was a Christian. No, he got fired because he's a bad employee. They spoke evil of him because of the way he carried himself, not because of who he believed in. Now, unfortunately, some, because of what he would do, are going to blame that on Jesus, aren't they? We have to be careful. And recognize that we have masters. We are servants. Now, I don't want to get in this whole debate about slavery versus unslavery and so on and so forth. All right? But here's the truth of the matter. You are a slave if you are an employee. Sorry. I'm a slave, even right now. Right? I'm a slave to you all. I want to serve you to the absolute best ability I possibly can. And ultimately, I'm a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ because I want to serve him the best I possibly can as well. But you are. You're a servant. So what attitude are you going to take about this idea? Notice if we suffer at the hand of our masters for doing good, then it says there in that passage that we are acceptable. And I love that. That if we suffer for him, that we are acceptable, it says at the end, with God. That is the charis. That word, that acceptable is the charis, the same word we use for grace. What? If we suffer from our masters for doing good, then we are what? To the grace of God. Meaning we understand that the grace of God is all we need. Did that make sense? I don't need my employers. I don't need the people in my life to tell me I'm okay. I need the grace of God to tell me I'm okay. I need the Lord's grace on my life. I don't need other people to lift me up with something special. You'll remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, and I don't think you don't have to turn there, but you remember this passage, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, 10. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in the weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What was Paul saying? He was saying, all I need is the grace of God. I don't need everybody to treat me kindly. Matter of fact, he says, he said in that passage, he said what, oh, it is up there. Look at that. It's right there, guys. Anyway, I didn't realize I'd put that in there. There you go. You can read it for yourself. He says what? He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses. Does that sound like fun stuff? I mean, does it? Infirmities, distresses, persecutions? That doesn't sound like something I want to jump into. But you remember what he was actually talking about when he says that? He says that he prayed thrice for the Satan had sent a demon or an angel to buffet him, right? In other words, to come against him. And he prayed three times the Lord would remove that. And God said, I don't need to remove that. My grace is sufficient for you. So maybe you've been praying about your job because you're being buffeted in your job. You're having a hard time with your employer. They're being difficult to work with. Now, some of you, I know, are self-employed, so if you're having a hard time with your employer, you really got some issues. All right? But if you're getting buffeted by your employer, you're feeling like you're having struggles because of who your employer is, remember that God doesn't have to remove that. What he's saying is maybe what he's trying to teach you is the same lesson Paul had to learn, which is what? All you need is me. Don't worry about what's going to happen in your job. I got that. I got you the job. I can get you through the job. And if I need to get you another job, I'll get you one. But right now, what I need you to do is to represent me in your workplace. Be the absolute best employee you can be. Christians should be the best employees there are. Employers should be seeking to desire and long to have Christians work for them because of our character. And what we will do. and that we'll do what's right no matter what the situation is. I don't know how many of you have ever had the opportunity to see Courageous, the film by the Kendrick brothers. But if you ever get the opportunity to, and I have it, I guess we might be nice enough to loan it to you if you remind me. All right. But you want to watch a good film. It's called Courageous. And one of the scenarios in the film is there's this young man who has just been struggling in life, and he finally gets a decent job, and he's working for a good employer, and he's being a good employee. And his employer calls him in one day. He's like, listen, we got a new position, and we're looking to promote somebody to. And we're wondering if you'd be interested in it. I mean, it'd be better hours and better pay. And he said, yeah, of course, yeah, I'd love that. Okay, good. All we need you to do is when this next shipment comes in, it says that, and I'm making up the numbers a little bit here, but it says there's 14 boxes on there. We just need you to write down there's only 12. And he's like, but that'd be a lie. Yeah, but do you want to be a team player? Do you want that position? And so how many of us, if we were faced with that scenario, would go, well, I mean, he's the owner. Why not? He says there's 12. Even if there's 14. So he prays about it, thinking about it, having a hard time with it. And finally he says, you know what? No, the character of who Christ is in me is more important than the character of what this man thinks. And so he says, I can't do that. He goes, you realize this means, and then he goes back and he says, I can't do that. If there's 14 boxes, I got to write down there's 14 boxes. And he goes, you do realize that this is the end of your job if you don't want to be a team player. He says, yes, I understand that. But I have to do the right thing. Turns out it would end up being just a test. I don't mean to give away the show. There's other parts to the show, too. This isn't the whole show. All right? It ends up being just a test. And he gets the job. The employers want good employees. The world is not and cannot do good. You realize that? Because until you know Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, your heart is evil continually. Does that make sense? So we as Christians are the only ones who can actually be those really good employees. I'm not saying that everybody who's out there that's not a Christian is a bad employee, but I'm telling you that you can be the best employee because you have the power of the God of the universe on your side doing it. So you can be a good employee. See, if we would just remember that we need not anything but the grace of God and the acceptance of God, then we would gladly accept whatever our earthly masters might bring our way, assuming it doesn't go directly against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that by that grace shown through our lives, some of them might be saved. Isn't that really what the goal is? See, if we're good employees, the point of why we're a good employee, I'm not a good employee because I want the accolades and I want the employee of the month in the parking space. That's not why I'm a good employee. I'm a good employee because I want them to see my Savior shine through me, so that by the grace of God, they might get saved. You're still in 2 Peter, I hope. So look up from that verses that we just read in 2 Peter, and look now at verse 11 through 15 with me for that passage, if you would. It says, dearly beloved, so this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you with evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What is he telling us there? He's saying, hey, listen, that word conversation, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that means your behavior in your life. Having your behavior in your life honest amongst the Gentiles. Why? That they may see our good works and glorify God in the day of his visitation. In other words, so that they might get saved. We're not good employees so that we get all the accolades of men. We're good employees so that those men, by the grace of God, might see our Savior through our behavior in our life and come to know him as their Savior so they don't have to spend eternity in hell. That's why we're good employees. To the unbelieving masters. To the unbelieving masters. Okay, turn back to our main text now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 2 now, to our second group. That then they that having believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Believing masters, despise, means to disesteem them or to not esteem them because they're your, because why? In other words, we treat them with too much familiarity. Does that make sense? And what I mean by that is this, is you just think because you work for a Christian that you get to act any way you want because you're a Christian. They got to show you grace. They got to be kind to you. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've watched many business owners throughout my lifetime, Christian business owners, who will tell you, unfortunately, that the group they don't want to hire is Christians. Why? Well, because they'll use the excuse of God in their life. Why were you late this morning? Oh, I got so wrapped up in my Bible study, I just lost track of time. Liar! Because God would not make you a bad employee. I mean, I'm sorry, guys, he wouldn't. God wouldn't make you a bad employee. And that's what we do. And this is what it means to that disesteem our the believing brethren. Why? Well, they're partakers with us. They should understand how difficult. The struggle's real. They should get that. No, you actually should esteem them more. And you should push their business further. And you should become the best employee they have so that they can hire other employees, and other employees who may not be saved or may not be Christians can actually hear the gospel through their testimony and yours. You should be working harder for them. Not going, oh, well, they should understand, they should forgive me, they should just, you know, yeah, I know I've been late 7 times out of 7 days, but you know what? Don't you think you should forgive me? That's the Christian thing to do. No! Let me tell you what the Christian thing is to do. See, there's still consequences for sin, isn't there? Right? I mean, there's still consequences for sin. You don't believe me? There's consequences in life. And if you don't believe that, go stand on the interstate for a while. See what happens. And when you get hit by that truck, don't go, but what? I should have been able to do whatever I wanted to do. No, there's still laws. There's still truths. There's still consequences. All right? There's consequences for our sins. And so guess what? All they're doing is holding you accountable for the consequences. So when you're late 7 out of 7 days, guess what they're going to do? Fire you. And guess what they should do? Fire you. And when you come back to me and go, can you believe they call themselves a Christian? I can't believe you call yourself one. That you would disesteem them in such a manner. Well, I worked. And guys, it is a blessing to work for a believing company. It is a blessing to work for brothers and sisters in Christ. I remember for a while I did some construction work with a brother in Christ. Loved it. It was awesome to actually be able to know that the music we were going to listen to was not going to tear down my mind. I wasn't listening to Led Zeppelin and Iron Maiden and everything like that like I normally would on a construction crew. Right? I know some of you are looking at me like, who? They're bands. Right? I wasn't listening to that stuff on my construction crew. I got to listen to stuff that's actually building me up. And not even that. You know what? I could have conversations. Believe it or not, sometimes we'd work without music. And we would talk. And you know how cool it was to be able to talk about Christ, talk about the Savior, talk about the Bible, have questions and discussions with each other about those things? That was a blessing. I mean, honestly, it was an amazing, amazing thing that I got to do then. I prayed God for it. You're working for a believer, take advantage of it. Have conversations with them. Grow each other. But it's far too often we don't. Instead, we treat them like they are what? Like, well, they should just treat me anyway because they're my brother in Christ. I should not have to be held accountable the same way everybody else would. Well, I'm going to tell you something here. You ready for this? In that first verse where we said, it says, many other servants, listen to the word. And you should be familiar with the word. The word service there is the doulio. And if you were to read throughout the passages and you were to read in the Greek, you would see how many times the Lord, when he calls us his servants, calls us the douliosis. Right? It means a bond servant. In other words, if I put it to you this way, you should serve them the same way you would serve the Savior. If Jesus asked you to be here at 8 a.m., if Jesus called you up and said, I need you there at 8 a.m., what time would you be there? 7:30, good job. Right? 7:30, good job. I'm proud of some of you. Okay? It's like, well, he said 8. I prayed God, when I first got involved in the ministry, they taught us, if we were part of the ministry team there, that you were there a half an hour before every service at the very least. You didn't just show up when the service was supposed to start, because there's stuff to be done beforehand. Now, a lot of you don't know that, right? I wish there were fairies who came in and made the coffee. All right, but they don't. Turned on the light, got everything up and running, all right? I mean, people do that. People step in and do that. And so, but the point of the matter is this, is you should be that same attitude. Well, I don't have to be there till 8. And don't do one of those cheats. I'm going to turn my clock back 15 minutes. Why? Because you know you did it. So then what do? You go, well, it's not really that time. Maybe somebody else turned the back of your clock. That might work. Anyway. So we're supposed to be the best employees. Turn to me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. See, this is the problem with some of us when we have our bleeding masters, is we use this liberty, this freedom we have now in Christ, and we use it for an occasion for our flesh. But let me read to you the Ephesians 5, or Galatians 5, excuse me, chapter 3, Galatians chapter 5. Let's try this. I'm going to give you one that's in the Bible. You ready? Okay. Galatians, that's a book, chapter 5, verse 13. Okay? Read verse 13 and 14 to me. It says, for brethren, you have not been called under liberty. You have been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love and serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, when we've been set free from our sin, and we have the God of the universe on our side now, and he's providing our employment for us, and he's providing things like that for us, it doesn't mean we get to go, well, God will get me another job. No, what he's saying is that you got to use that now to your advantage and serve others with love. Not just the brother, not just the unbeliever. You got to serve everyone with love. And you got to esteem them better than yourselves. We read that other places in the Bible too, don't we? You've got to lift them up. You got to make them the best they can be. Make your job the best it can possibly be. It's not about you. He's saying, hey, you got to love and serve one another. For all of what you want is fulfilled in that one statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love your employer, I know, it's a weird thing, right? One of the most awkward things, you guys know, whenever you talk to me, when I close a phone call with you, 90% of the time I say, love you, right? And I do, I love you guys. I want you guys to know that. Even some of you who don't know me yet, you're like, why would you love me? Why wouldn't I? My Savior loves you, I love you, right? And my love will grow. But I love you. And so I have this habit of saying I love you. You know how awkward it is when your unbelieving boss calls you at about 4 in the morning to tell you that she's not going to be there, and you tell her, okay, sounds good, I'll take care of that, love you. Not once, but like 4 times. I hope she started to believe it by the end of it, I guess. But the truth of the matter is that we should be loving people like that, right? I want to serve them. I want to do what I need to do for them. I want them to be, you know, I wasn't about trying to further myself in my job when I was out in the workplace. I wasn't trying to grow myself so that I could be. I was trying to make everybody else the best around me that they could be. I wanted to be the greatest testimony of the love of Christ. Why would you do that? Why would I get up early and go? Why would I go? They put me down on this thing where if somebody got in trouble in the middle of the night, or where I used to work for a housing authority, I was the guy they called, and I had to go to the building and check it all out and go around to the other houses and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know how many times in the middle of the night I got up. Happened here, by the way, in case you're curious, because some of you leave the doors unlocked. So I get called at 2 o'clock in the morning by the police to tell me to come down and check out the building. And so if you have a key, lock the door. Anyway, but that's a side note. That's a side note. All right? But I get up and I go, and why would you take that position on, Brian? Oh, look what you did now. Okay, anyway, but Why would you take that position on, Brian? Why would you do that? I'll tell you why I do that, because I love you guys enough not to make you have to do it. Do you love your employers? No matter who the employer is. And by the way, it doesn't matter how good the employer they are either, does it? That's what he said. Even if they're forward. Even if they're not a good person to work for, you still got to be a good employee. Doesn't matter what they're like. All right. Now, I want to go back to our text, and I want to look at the third group here. And ultimately, and as you're turning back there, I want to share this one verse with you from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. It's all right. Ben, just go ahead and turn it off, bud. So he says there that when we serve, we should serve not for the respect of persons, but we serve, why? Because we serve wholeheartedly as for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that is why we are able to love and serve even our unbelieving employers. It's because we're not serving them. We're serving Jesus Christ. We must ultimately remember who we serve, which brings me to that third person. I had you turn back to our text now, didn't I? So, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So who is this third group? This third person, if I can put it this way, that we need to consider worthy of all honor? The Lord himself. The Lord himself. So why do I stop and include the Lord in this idea? Because ultimately, remember, the Lord is your master, isn't he? Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 10, and I'm just going to read this one to you. It says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. We have a master. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we love, honor, and serve him, we're serving our ultimate master. When we do the right thing in our jobs, we're doing the right thing for our master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we're the good employee, and we do it ungrudgingly, we don't complain and murmur about it, we just do it. By the way, what has complaining ever got you? I mean, seriously. I'll tell you what, I watched some people who complained so much about their job, they ended up out without one. Now they're complaining because they don't have a job. But, and I've shared this with you guys before. Did you know more people died in the Bible because of complaining than any other sin? The whole nation of Israel died because of complaining. Everybody above the age of 20. Wow. I think God doesn't like complaining. I don't know about you guys. And what's complaining going to get you? All complaining does is shows your ignorance. Like we talked about this morning in Sunday school, when you complain, whether it be against your boss, your government, or whatever the case may be, and all you do is, you look like those little kids. You know those little kids who can't stop crying? You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you look like that, you know all that's getting you? You know what that's proving? Your ignorance. Ooh. Why would that be ignorance? Because you don't understand God is in control. You think you're in control. You think your boss is in control. Now, you may not want to go to your boss and say, you know you're not in control. But you can know it. And if you have a believing boss, even more so, right? Hopefully they're responding even quicker. See, we have a master. What's meant to his servants. And there are a lot of verses we could look at about the idea of being his servants. But I want to look at just one. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And when you get there, let's look at verses 21 through 24 together. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, and not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. What he's telling us in this passage here, brothers and sisters, is this. As we've been called by Jesus Christ, we've been set free by Jesus Christ, and if he gives us a job, we're not the servants of those men, we're the servants of his, and that we should use our calling to abide with God. So in other words, don't complain about it, work it. If he wants you to move on, he'll move you on. So if we are a Christ servant, then we know that the servant does the will of his master. All right, now your shoes are getting a little tight. I'm just going to warn you. My shoes got really tight thinking about it. I told you I spent a whole 2 weeks thinking about this. All right? And so my shoes got extremely tight. I actually went and bought new shoes when I got home. No joke. All right, I really did. Not because of this verse. All right? But if we know who our master is, and we know we're his servants. Remember what it said there? Actually, go ahead and turn back there. Let's just read this. Remember what it said there in 1 Timothy verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1? It said, let as many of the servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So the Lord being your master, are you showing him all honor? And by the way, I'm not just talking about the workplace anymore. Are you showing him all honor? Let me break it down for you this way, in the simplest of terms. Do you do the will of your master, or do you do your own will? See, because in my job, if my employer asks me to do something and I do it my way, my employer is going to be like upset, isn't he? And you didn't do it right. There's a reason why we do it that way. But so many of us act like in our Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't have to do it his way, we get to do it ours. Are you honoring him? Are you honoring him when you sit there and say, well, I don't have to be like that. I don't have to do that. I know he said that, but he didn't really mean it that way. Are you honoring him? Are you serving the master, or are you serving yourself? That's the question. Because if you keep doing it your way, you're serving yourself. But when you start to do it his way, guess what? You're going to start serving the master. And here's the beautiful part about it. The best way to serve the master, the best way to serve yourself, excuse me, is by serving the master. The best way to serve the self is by serving the master. Because he knows what's right and perfect. He knows what's going to be the best for you. So if we were to come and examine your life, would we see a servant of the Lord or a servant of self? And I don't want to show a hand to answer that question. But have you ever asked yourself that? Who do I serve more, my pleasures or the Lord's? Who do I honor more, Christ or myself? I told you, I spent 2 weeks thinking about this. You guys get 15 minutes. I'm moving on. Not even that. But who do you serve more? Who do you honor more? The Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect word and his doctrine and his teachings, or yourself and your vain imaginations, your thoughts, what you want? So what would prohibit us from living a life which would serve our master instead of ourselves? And we're going to answer it right here in this verse. Ready? Verse 1 again. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. The problem is that many of us perceive the will of God as a yoke of bondage. See, we think about a yoke. You guys know what a yoke is, right? I hope everybody knows what a yoke is. Basically, a yoke was this big wood thing that they put over the neck of an ox and so they could pull. All right? And oftentimes, they had the double bows and so that they could have two oxen pulling together, which makes it much easier, doesn't it? But nonetheless, they sometimes just use one, and one ox would pull. And the point of the matter is this, that they'd act like this yoke was heavy and it was just a burden and so on and so forth. And so many of us act like this is in our life. When Jesus Christ asks us to live a life pleasing to him, when he asks us to quit living for self and quit doing what we desire and what our heart wants, and he says, hey, start to live like a Christian. Quit living like what you want to live like. Start living the way I want you to live. We still act like, well, there's no fun in that. The world's having all the fun. I've been there, done that. It's one of the things I try to stress so much to the young people that the Lord has given me the opportunity to share with over the years. I've been there. I had the fun the world had to offer, and you want to know what bondage really is? It's there. It's there. Alcohol became such a bondage in my life. Why? Because, well, I couldn't function without it. I can function without coffee. I don't enjoy to, but I can. But alcohol, I couldn't. I literally could not, guys. I didn't know how to live without it. Drugs. All those things that are out there, the world says, that, oh, no, these will make you free. No, they don't. They put you in bondage. The only freedom, true freedom, that you'll ever find in this life is the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. But doesn't that sound contradictory? I mean, how can we possibly have a yoke upon us and be free? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it does when you understand who our Lord and Savior is. Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to read this in the interest of time to you. 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, what makes it so light is when you understand that the Lord's will is not bondage. In fact, it's the exact opposite. He's not telling you, hey, don't do those things because I don't want you to have fun. He's telling you, don't do those things because they're destructive and they're going to destroy you. How many alcoholics have we seen destroy their families? How many drug addicts have we seen destroy their lives? How many liars and cheats and thieves have we seen destroy the lives of many people around them, including their own? But tell me, how many honestly godly people who strive to live according to the Word of God have you seen destroy their own life and others? Oh yeah, we can pick out some of those men, so-called men of God, who failed. I question whether or not they were actually ever a man of God or if they're a man of themselves, I'll be honest with you. Because if you're truly a man of God, you may mess up, but you won't be destroyed. It's like I tell people all the time, listen, you may be damaged, but you're not ruined. Some of us mess up, we get damaged. You know, the first day that Chandra had her car and I was putting her license plate on, I dropped the license plate on the back and I made a chip in the paint. It's damaged, but it's not ruined. She wasn't real happy about it. Not going to lie. But it was damaged, it wasn't ruined. You get my point? Some of us, we have damage in our life, but it doesn't mean we're ruined. It doesn't mean God's done with you. You can still do. You can still be. You can still, and this is the beauty of who Christ is. That is freedom. Do you realize how much freedom there is in the fact that when you mess up, he forgives you? And you start afresh. His mercies are new every morning. You don't have to sit there and go, oh, woe is me, I'm undone. No, he's saying, no, you're not. I forgave you. You're a new creature. Start again. We got this master reset, and it comes from the master. That's awesome. But that's having to put yourself under that master, because if you put yourself under yourself, you're never going to have that reset. I'm going to tell you right now. Romans chapter 8. See, the exact opposite. He doesn't put us under bondage. Romans chapter 8. We're coming to a close, I promise. God, I haven't been here for 2 weeks. You got an hour and a half, don't you? Romans chapter 8. Verses 12 through 15. Read these verses with me if you would. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 15. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Not bondage, freedom. Look even further up in this passage, verse 1. "Is there therefore now no condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." Listen to this last verse. "For to be carnally minded is death. To be self-minded, to be all about this world is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." See, if you'll just take your eyes off of yourself, quit making yourself your master, and put your eyes on the true and living master, Jesus Christ, you will find all of a sudden there's a freedom and a peace and a rest that you have never experienced in your entire life. I don't worry about the opinions of the world about me. I don't worry about the opinions of everybody else about me. There's only one person I'm seeking to please. And I know that as long as I continue to try to seek to please my master, that not only will I have life and peace, but those around me shall have life and peace as well. Because it's not about me. So to close this morning, turn back to our text. And this one's not even in my notes. It's a thought the Lord gave me this morning. So I hope this is just for somebody in particular in here, maybe all of us. He says, as many as are servants are under the yoke, count your own masters worthy of all honor. Do you count your master worthy of honor? And that's the real question you have to ask yourself. Do you consider Jesus Christ worth it? I mean, seriously, do you consider life with Christ worth it? Or is it just something you have to do so that you can go away and feel good about yourself? Or so that other people in your life think you're okay? Do you consider him worth it? And if you call yourself a Christian and you don't live like he's worth it, you're blaspheming. That's what it says. You're blaspheming. You don't get to give yourself an excuse anymore. You don't get to go, yeah, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. If you have sin issues in your life, they are a big deal. Deal with them. More in particular, let him deal with them. I love the way he sang that song, I Must Tell Jesus. Do you think he doesn't know what your struggle is? I agree with Brother Brad. It's hard sometimes to go, well, God already knows, right? Yeah, but you know how freeing it is when you get to verbalize it? I think about this with Jaden. All right, I'm not picking on my son like I normally do. All right? Jaden, when he was a little kid, he was funny. Because, you know, parents, we know, don't we? Right? And we know when they did something wrong. And we'd ask Jaden, we're like, hey, Jaden, what happened to blah, 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 blah? I don't know. Now, unfortunately, Jaden's an only child, so his only options were himself or Buddy. And Buddy doesn't have opposable thumbs, so I don't think he got into the fridge. And if he did, that's awesome. I don't know. And then a while go by, and you could just see how Jaden would walk around kind of dejected and just like under this oppression. And then one time he finally come up to him, I'm sorry, I lied. I do know what happened to that. I did it. We're like, good to hear, bud. Love you. Thank you for confessing that to us. He'd be like, that's it? Yeah. We just want to know. Love you. Give him a hug. See ya. And he'd be like, I spent 2 weeks walking around here on eggshells and upset because I did that, and you guys were just going to say, okay. Yep. Punishment was enough, wasn't it? I mean, seriously, punishment was enough. And some of us are walking around like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he knows how bad I am. I'm so bad. Ooh, I'm so bad. Tell him. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And help me in this weakness. Because here's my problem. And you know what he's going to say to you? Okay. And all of a sudden, you're going to see your countenance lift, and you go, there is so much freedom in honoring my master. And that's all it takes. I would challenge us this morning to examine our own hearts and our own lives into the areas that we know that we have not been honoring our Savior, been honoring our Master. And don't go out there under your own power and try to do it, by the way. But confess it to him. Like the rich ruler, when the Lord asked him, do you believe this? And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. Now help my unbelief. Go to him and say, Lord, I know this is the problem. Help me, because I can't do it. I didn't overcome the drugs and the alcohol and the issues in my life when I got saved because I was some amazing character. It was because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an amazing character. He had the power and he had the strength to overcome me and my flesh.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.